Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Before we were saved, most of us were quite aware that we and God were separate, far removed from each other. But after we're saved, God is not separate and distant. Quite to the contrary, He was literally conceived in us and born into us. By regeneration, we and God have become one spirit. How marvelous is this divine reality? But does it match our understanding? Even more, does it match our experience? Don't miss today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a marvelous unfolding of one of the great but hidden matters in the entire Bible awaits us on our broadcast today. We're happy to have Gary Kaiser in the studio to be a part of this wonderful fellowship from Galatians as we begin our final programs in this wonderful life study of Galatians. Gary, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Matt. I look forward to the particular fellowship we're having today.
So do I, Gary, and it's been a wonderful life study so far with a lot of revelation, and I think these last 4 or 5 programs are going to really be all full of much light and revelation. We really want to get into these in a full way, and again today we're going to draw our attention to the fact that the Christian life can be approached in 2 ways, as it most often is. One way is by a determination to be better, to follow the example of the Bible, et cetera, to live that kind of life. But another way can be the genuine experience of Christ living His life in us and through us. These 2 approaches are very different indeed, aren't they, Gary?
Dynamically so and dramatically so. Determined to get better is the experience of many dear believers, but the determination to get better is always disappointing, and it's full of condemnation, full of repeated frustration. But there is another way to live this life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To experience Christ living in us and through us. It's a marvelous thing to practice living one spirit with the Lord. It revolutionizes our lives. When we were born of God, we experienced a life-changing result. We became a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, they've all become new. It's wonderful.
Amen. You know, you use the word revolutionize. It was revolutionary in Paul's day when he was speaking and writing these things to the Galatians and all of the New Testament believers, and it's still revolutionary today, Gary, even though it's been in the Bible for 2,000 years. When we finish today's program and these ones that are coming up, we're all going to have the sense that we've been brought into a revolutionary view in terms of how we approach our Christian living. Don't you agree?
I certainly do.
Day by day, we have this experience. Let's join Witness Lee with the first portion today.
God's New Testament economy is just to dispense Christ into our being, making Christ one with us and making us one spirit with Christ. This is wonderful. This is all together, far away from our concept. I must be honest to all of you. I'm even a little concerned. Some of you still don't have a full realization that today you, as a saved one, as one regenerated by God through His Spirit, with His life, you are one entity with God. Have you ever realized that you are one entity with God? It is no more that God is a divine, almighty being, far away from you. And you are just a low, small creature. You and God, God and you, were two separate entities, far away one from another. But since you got saved, do you realize that God has been conceived into you? God has been conceived and born into you, just like they are physical birds. In the physical birds, your father has been conceived and born into you. By our new birth, the regeneration, our God has been conceived and born into you. Since that time, you and God, God and you, are one spirit. One spirit, one entity. This is marvelous. This is beyond our concept. The divine mystery is far beyond our concept. This is why these things are here in the Bible. But we don't have the concept, so we have no ability to apprehend. We have to realize today we all are far, far below God's standard. Nearly these kind of things we never heard. It has never been touched through the centuries. But the Lord's mercy, it is here in the Bible.
Well, Gary, we've come to a point in this first section that I think it's fair to say is very deep and it's very profound. Yet, it's not that widely understood or perceived. Yet, it's one of those significant elements in this ministry that when you see it, you simply have to concur, yes, this is what the Bible says. Let's talk about this point that after we're regenerated, we become one spirit with God, even one entity. A very intriguing phrase here.
Indeed it is. To read and understand the Bible is a marvelous gift from God. And this ministry really helps us in this regard. When we look at the creation narrative, we realize that man is created with a tremendous purpose. He is made in the very image and likeness of God, and he's given a responsibility to carry out God's purpose on the earth. If we would just stop and reflect on that, we have a realization what a kind of creature we are. Yet this creature has become fallen, has become ruined, has become utterly bereft of anything of God. So there's a deep and real chasm between God and us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, it doesn't end there. But God sends his Son, and that Son, the Lord Jesus, carries out God's purpose perfectly. He carries out what it is God's desire has been from the beginning. Not only so, but he is now dispensing that life into us. As we open our being up to him, we become joined with him. We become one spirit with him. And even here you use that word, one entity with him. We become the new creation. We become God in man and God with man. We become a duplication of Christ. If we begin to have some realization of this, it will change the way we live. It will change the way we think. It will change the way we feel. Altogether, we have to come to a new realization that we are no longer separated from God, but we can live with him and even he live through us. What a tragedy to neglect this oneness in the name of self-improvement. May the Lord deliver us from that kind of fallen concept and draw us into the rich supply of God himself mingled with man.
This next section that we have ahead of us, Gary, it's going to come back to a couple of verses in chapter 5 that we've spoken about now a few times in the last few programs. I don't think you and I've had a chance, but in some of the other programs we touched it, and it's worth coming back to again. For the sake of those who weren't with us for those programs, let me read two very short verses and point out the distinction that Witness Lee is going to highlight in this section that's just ahead. So this is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then what seems to be a very similar phrase in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. But the interesting point, the one that we have made much of and are going to see again in this section, is that the word walk in these two verses is not the same Greek word, and it carries a little different meaning in these two verses, and that proves to be quite significant, as we're going to once again find out. Here's Witness Lee.
In the last two chapters, as a conclusion to this book on God's economy, two kinds of works are covered here. In Galatians 5:25, the word walk is different from the word walk in verse 16. Walking in a general way, walk about, walk around. This is the first kind of walk. This is the walk in verse 16. But in verse 25, walk is another walk. Walk in the rule. The first walk is a general walk of Christian daily living. So you have joy, love, peace, kindness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness, and so forth. These are aspects of our Christian daily walk. We should have this kind of walk. But we are not here just for joy, peace, love, and meekness, faithfulness, no purpose. We are here for a purpose. And God does have a purpose concerning us. So we have to walk to fulfill the purpose. We have to walk orderly. We have to walk according to the elementary rules. There are some rules for the Christian walk. To love is not a rule. And to be joyful is not a rule. You must have all these kind of expressions of love, joy, peace, peacefulness, meekness, and so forth. But these are not things concerning our work to fulfill a purpose. For us to fulfill a purpose, we have to pick up another work. And this work is to work according to the basic principles, according to the elementary rules. I may illustrate it this way. Suppose you, as a younger student, early morning, after you rest up from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, you walk in your home, you walk around, you walk about. You smile at your mother and you kiss your young sister, so nice, so loving, full of joy and meekness and self-control. Very good. A wonderful daughter, a wonderful sister, a wonderful girl. That is the walk in verse 16. To live Christ out. That is a kind of walk, to live Christ in the expressions of love, joy, peace, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and so forth. But time comes up. Right away, you take another walk. This walk, the second walk, to go to school as a proper student. Very much on time. Now, your walk changes. Your walk is a kind of walk according to the basic principles for a younger to finish his schooling. When you walk around in the home, that is just good for you to be a daughter, to be a sister. for you to be a student, you must take another walk. To walk according to certain principles, not to walk around, not to walk without a goal, but to walk under certain direction to a certain goal. And this kind of walk makes you a son of God, a new creation. In chapter 6, this title comes up, the new creation, the Israel of God. Now, you are a son of God, yet you have to live a new creation. For you to live a new creation and to live the new Israel of God, you have to have the second kind of walk. You have to walk outwardly. You have to walk according to the elementary principles of God's economy.
Gary, we spent a good deal of time, as I mentioned in the past few programs, talking about these two different kind of walks referred to in Galatians 5. But here Witness Lee is connecting the second more specific walk in verse 25 to Galatians chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation is what matters. And as many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy even upon the Israel of God. Gary, what's the connection between our walk and these two items, the new creation and the Israel of God?
Well, Matt, we've seen that there are two types of walks in chapter 5 of Galatians. Here, Brother Lee brings out the point that the walk spoken of in verse 16 is different from the walk spoken of in verse 25, based upon the Greek words used. In verse 16, the word peripateo indicates a walk in a general way. It indicates a daily routine, if you will. But that routine, of course, is something of the Spirit and in the Spirit, so that there is a real expression of God. And Brother Lee compares this with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. There's an expression that is very proper and very uplifted, but it doesn't have a direct purpose. It is a general walk. The walk in verse 25 indicates a military kind of walk, an orderly walk with a purpose. The word used is stoicheo, which indicates a very orderly and elementary purpose that is being carried out. The second kind of walk is compared to the new creation, is tied in with the new creation in chapter 6. There, Paul says, it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In other words, it's not a kind of outward condition that matters. But what matters is the new creation. We are a people born of God. We have a different reason for living. We have a different purpose for living. And we have a different energy, even an energizing entity within us for this living. We're able to live an orderly life with a direction, because we have become now one spirit with Christ, linked together with Him to carry out His divine purpose. The Israel of God is the same as the new creation. It is simply to say the new creation, God's people born of God, are the Israel of God. They are the Prince of God. Jacob, of course, was a heel holder, a person who lived for himself, but he became Israel. Here, it is applied to us. We are, as the new creation born of God, the Israel of God. It's very essential that we see this so that our living becomes that living which is in oneness with God, even God Himself living through us to accomplish His purpose on this earth.
Amen. You know, this new creation, old creation contrast is one that maybe we understand a bit theologically, but it's good to get a practical help. And that's what's in store for us in this final section. We're going to get a very practical example from Witness Lee of the new creation versus the old creation. Here again is Witness Lee.
If we Christians live in that way, just according to the ethical standard without God, just by ourselves without God saturating us, just by yourself without God mingled with you, you may be so loving. You love people to the uttermost. You love people with every drop of your blood. That's still by the old creation. So if this is the way, you live by what? By the old creation. You don't walk that way. You live, you walk by what? By the basic principle of the new creation. And the basic principle of the new creation is that God is mingled in you. When you love people, God loves in you. And you love people together with God. Now you live a new creation. This work, according to the spiritual principle, is absolutely something organic. It is here you experience Christ much more than what you experienced in the first kind of work. In the second kind of work, you experience Christ much more than in the first kind of work. So you are not only a new creation in position and in nature, but also a practical new creation in your daily practice. It's not just a matter of nature and position. Now, the new creation becomes a practical matter in your daily life. You just leave the new creation. And the new creation has a basic principle. That is, a human being lives a divine life. This makes you and me a practical new creation. Every lover of the Lord Jesus should be a special, wonderful person in the eyes of our observers. Your parents should testify, "My, our daughter now is wonderful." We just cannot describe what kind of person he is. He can suffer things we cannot suffer. And he can live a life we cannot live. She's wonderful. We don't know how to describe her. What is this? This is a new creation. The unbelievers, they never know what is a new creation. But now we are living a new creation. Then, as long as we are living a new creation, we become practically God's Israel. And Israel means what? It means a prince of God. God's victor. So you are a king. You are a king. You are a prince. What does this indicate? Today, we all need to be this Israel. We all need to be such a prince, executing God's government on this earth, exercising God's authority on this earth. Now, we are kings. Now, we are exercising God's kingdom on this earth. We walk according to God's eternal purpose. Eventually, we become what? We become a new creation, the Israel of God, representing God, exercising His authority, and carrying on His administration on this earth.
Well, Gary, I have to say again that we must be impressed with this point. The profound difference between loving, in this case, loving someone out of our natural disposition or natural affection, versus experiencing God's love for someone operating within us. This may seem to some people to be too subjective or too discriminating or just too mystical, but we really are talking about discovering the difference between the old creation and the new creation, aren't we?
It's a tremendous revelation when we realize we are not that old thing trying to become new. We are the new creation. We are a people who are born of God. So our position is established, it's set, but our daily living needs to match that position. We are a new creation. Now that new creation needs to be lived out, needs to be expressed. But here we're not adopting a new set of rules. Rather, we're adopting a revelation. And for this, we need to come back to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, shine into me. Open the eyes of my heart that I may really understand, see, comprehend, and enter into this living, which is your living in me and my living with you.
Amen. I'd like to say again, it's deep. It's not real easy to grasp, and we hope to come at it from one angle and then another angle and another angle until we've all been really impressed with this reality. It's really the kernel of the Bible, as Witness Lee used to love to call it. Gary, we'll end on that. We'll end with that good word, and I hope that you can join us again.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Until then, this is Matt Miller on behalf of Gary Kaiser. Thank you for listening today.